भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 64, Text Number 29. Namaste Sarvabhavaya.
Namaste Sarvabhavaya.
Brahmanenantashaktaye.
Brahmanenantashaktaye.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Yoganam Pataye Namaha Namaste Sarvabhavaya Brahmane Nanta Shaktaye Krishnaya Vasudevaya Yoganam Pataye Namaha
To
you,
Sarva
Bhavaya, the source of all beings, Brahmane, the supreme absolute truth, Ananta,
unlimited,
Shaktaye, the possessor of potencies. Krishnaya,
to Krishna,
Vasudevaya, the son of Vasudev,
Yoganam,
of all processes of yoga,
Pataye,
to the Lord,
Namaha,
obeisances.
Obeisances.
I offer my repeated obeisances unto you, Krishna, the son of Vasudev. You are the source of all beings, the supreme absolute truth, the possessor of unlimited potencies, the master of all spiritual disciplines. Purport. Srila Sridhara Swami comments that King Nriga here offers his obeisances to Brahman, that is the absolute truth, who is unchanged in spite of performing activities. Since ancient times, Western philosophers have puzzled over the question of how God can be unchanging and yet perform activities. Sridhara Swami states that this doubt is answered here by the term Ananta Shaktaye, which describes the Lord as the possessor of unlimited potency. Thus, through the Lord's infinite potencies, he can perform innumerable activities without changing his essential nature. The king further offers his obeisances to Sri Krishna, the possessor of the form of eternal bliss and the supreme goal of life. The holy name of Krishna is analysed in a verse from the Mahabharata, Udyoga Parva 71, 4, which Srila Prabhupada quotes in his Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 9 text 30. In the purport, Krishyir Vu Vachaka Shabdo Nascha Nivriti Vachakaha Trayor Aikyam Param Brahma Krishnitya Bhidhiyate. The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and Nat means spiritual pleasure. When the verb Krish is added to Nat, it becomes Krishna, which indicates the absolute truth. King Nriga offers the above prayers as he is about to leave the personal association of the Supreme Lord. Association. There's a spelling error there. Association is spelt wrongly. See that? Last line. Association. Got the A and the I around the wrong way. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyanantana Salakaya Chakchurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinatarinam. Namaste Sarva Bhavaya. Here, Maharaj Nuga is offering his prayers to Krishna in appreciation of his liberation from the form of the lizard, which was a reaction for his mistake in stealing from a brahmana inadvertently. And this story underlines the importance of being respectful to not envious of the brahmanas, and certainly not stealing from the brahmanas. And you know, the value of Brahminical culture as appreciated by Krishna, as demonstrated by Krishna. So Maharaj Nuga has been he chose to accept the reactions of his impious deeds when he was brought before Yamaraj. Even though he could have enjoyed unlimited heavenly pleasures, he chose to accept his. And it's mentioned in the discussions by the Acharyas that because Maharaj Nuga was actually blessed by a devotee, that he would get the service of Krishna and get the darshan of Krishna, then he was despite in the body of a lizard, which ordinarily, you know, if you're in a living entity in the lower species of life, doesn't get an opportunity to remember such things. They're covered over by the material energy. They're covered over. But he was fortunate. He got the mercy of a devotee and was able to remember his past misdeeds and was always waiting in anticipation of this moment when the Lord would appear to liberate him from the form of a lizard and pull him out of the well. So now, having achieved the position of servitude, as he's a servant, he's offering his prayers in the mood of a servant. Then he's saying here, Namaste Sarva Bhavaya, which in the translation, the source of all beings. And it's interesting because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's analysis of this verse is somewhat different. And it's not mentioned here in this commentary by Vidyananda Maharaj and Gopi Puranadana Prabhu and the other devotees, but it's interesting because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he's offering his prayers in the mood of a servant, but he's appreciating the Lord as the source of all beings, but especially the source of all relationships with the devotees. Sarva bhavaya means all relationships. Bhava means mood or relationship. Not so much relationship, but certainly mood. And in this case, the mood of the different relationships that exist between Krishna and the devotees. The five primary rasas or bhavas, if you like. Moods. Relationships. And it's mentioned in the purport here, Srila Sridhar Swami comments that King Nuga here offers his obeisances to Brahman. So that's the first, Shanta Ras. The first of the five primary relationships, Shanta Ras, is a neutral relationship, which is manifest in the relationship that one has with the impersonal effulgence or the Brahman feature. Brahmane. So that's the first thing. Brahmane. Uh, the jnanis and sometimes also the yogis aspire to realize that Brahman feature of the Lord. But in merging into that or becoming one with or meditating on that Brahman feature, the relationship is somewhat underdeveloped. It's what's called neutral. Neutral relationship. There's an absorption in, but there's no interaction between the two. And we see within the development of the different rasas, we see a development of intimacy and interaction of the relationships. You know, in the conditioned state, the living entity doesn't have a direct relationship with the Lord. And in one sense, you could argue that that was a neutral relationship, although it's not actually neutral because the behaviour of the living entity is such that you can see that it's actually negative. It's antagonistic or inimical to Krishna. And certainly one's relationship with Krishna. The behaviour of the conditioned living entity, conditioned soul is such that they perform activities that are actually detrimental to themselves and detrimental to their ignorant of. Ignorance, not quite the word. Avoiding the relationship that they have, that we have with Krishna. Almost in defiance of the relationship that we have with Krishna. So, the beginning of the establishment of a relationship with the Lord starts with this appreciation of the fact that God exists and that one should exist with, in harmony with the Lord, if you like, or in concert with, in cooperation with. And the initial development of that understanding is this Shanta Ras, where one wants to become one with the Supreme. Or become peace, you know, become coexistent with the Supreme. There's not a lot of action in that. There's not a lot of no doing in that kind of relationship. But there is an acknowledgement of the existence of God that permeates with everything. Right? So it is a development of an understanding or an appreciation of the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. So this is the first relationship that Maharaj Nigar is describing in the Sava Bhavaya, the different bhavas or rasas or relationships that the living entities can have. Then he says, Ananta Shaktaye, then he's offering his obeisances to the unlimited potencies of the Lord. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other places. Natasya Karyam Karanam Cha Vidyate. What's the next line? Natasya Karyam Karanam Cha Vidyate. I can't remember the second line. But Parasya Shaktiv. And he's quoted it here. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Sruyate Svabhaviki Jnana Gana Svabhaviki Jnana Balakriya Cha. It's a nice verse. Natatsamascha something drisyate. So basically, Natasya Karanam means that the Lord doesn't have anything to do. He doesn't have to do anything. Natasya Karyam Karanam Cha Vijite, but it is seen or it's understood that he acts. Natatsamas, there is no one equal to him. Natatsamas Cha, I can't remember the next. So seeing that there is nobody equal to the Lord, but and here it's pointed out, Ridhananda Maharaj mentions the Brahman, the Absolute Truth, who is unchanged in spite of performing activities. This is this Ananta Shaktaye. The Brahman feature of the Lord is unchanged. The Lord is unchanged. He's steady. Kutastha. Tata. Oh, not, well, no, not Tatastha. Kutastha. That means always steady. But then if he is unchanged, how come he acts? This is the question asked here. Since ancient times, Western philosophers have puzzled over the question of how God can be unchanging and yet perform activities. Sridhar Swami states that this doubt is answered here by the term Ananta Shaktaye. He has unlimited potencies. And they do the acting. Maharaj Nriga offers his obeisances to the Brahman feature, which is the feature of the Lord through which the Santa Rasa is manifest. And then Ananta Shaktaye means the unlimited potencies of the Lord who are all his servants, which indicates the next rasa, which is Dasyam. Right? And which is important for us because, you know, we are recommended to at least become Das or Dasi. Right? Our relationship is not neutral. Certainly it shouldn't be negative. This is one of the reasons why it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion Ado Guru Padashraya, that in the beginning one should take shelter of the Guru. And why do we take shelter of the Guru? So that we can be trained how to become servants of Krishna, the beginning stages of devotional service. Right? And so therefore, one takes shelter of the spiritual master, one then inquires from him, and then one learns the process of devotional service. And we're basically learning how to become not a servant of our mind and senses, in other words, not being a servant of the material energy, because everybody has to be a servant. One way or another, we're going to be a servant. But it's recommended that we change our mode of service so that instead of serving the temporary features of the material realm, we serve the permanent aspect of the Lord in the different modes of devotional service, in the different practices of the different 9 items of devotional service, with the aim of becoming a servant of the Lord. When we take initiation, then we're given the name of Krishna and Das or Dasi, to become the servant of Krishna directly, as opposed to being an indirect servant by serving the material energy. We're always a servant. But in serving the material energy, we get to taste the bitter, sweet relish in the material world, whereas if we learn to become a servant of Krishna, we can taste the eternal pleasure of our relationship with the Lord, which is very, very sweet and attractive. So there are different... The Lord has different potencies. Parashya shakti vivadaiva sriyate svabhavigi gyana balat kriyacha. And through those different shaktis or potencies, he's able to act. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described out there as the antaranga shakti. The antaranga shakti is the internal or spiritual potency. This is the most powerful potency of the Lord. Then there's the tatashta shakti. That's us, the living entity. It's considered to be marginal. Then there's the bahiranga shakti, or the material energy. Of the three, the most powerful is considered to be the antaranga, the spiritual potency. The spiritual potency controls Krishna even. But each one of these energies is always engaged in service. Dasyam. These features are always engaged in Krishna's service, one way or another. Even we're engaged in Krishna's service. Whilst being tatashta shakti, that means marginal potency, we can come under the influence of the external energy, or we can come under the influence of the internal energy. We have a choice on how to situate ourselves. But at any time, those energies are always engaged in the Lord's service. So this Ananta Shaktaye is the it represents that mood of Dasyam, or that relationship, that bhava of Dasyam, service. And Krishna has Ananta Shakti, unlimited potencies, through which he is, or by which he is served. Ananta Shaktaye Krishnaya. Now Krishna, name of Krishna, obviously, but also this refers to the rasa or relationship of friendship. Because, you know, first we have neutrality, then we have servitorship, then more developed or more intimate is friendship. Krishnaya. So he, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes the point that Krishnaya indicates this relationship of friendship. And Krishnaya is another name for Arjuna, right? Who is obviously a very, very beloved friend of Krishna. And in fact, in order to illustrate that point, he quotes this verse that's mentioned in the purport, Krishya Bhuvachaka Shabdo, as an indication of the pleasure or the bliss derived from that friendship. Nascha Nivriti Vachakaha Tayoraikyam Param Brahma Krishni Yabidiyate. The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and Na means spiritual pleasure. So somebody like Arjuna is always relishing the friendship and the love for Krishna in that association of friend. Huh? I think it's time for a new battery. You know, it's interesting that these different relationships, the different rasas, if you like, it's a very elevated understanding of God, if you like. You know, usually God is worshipped in a form, in a mood of awe and reverence, wherein the Lord is seen as the master, the Lord and master of everybody, and there's sort of like fear of, you know. But these relationships are described here, especially friendship and the paternal rasa. The next is Vasudevaya, which means the son of Vasudev. Right? So this is indicative of that relationship between the devotee and Krishna, where the devotee becomes the parent of God. And usually, you know, the parent is in charge. The parent is the boss. Right? Now normally, you know, when people come to the temple, they see God as, he's in charge, he's the boss. But such is the relationship of devotional, or such are the relationships developed or understood or appreciated in devotional service, where the devotee becomes more powerful than God. You know, Mother Yashoda is chasing Krishna in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaja's house because he's broken the pots of yogurt and distributed them to the monkeys. And he's scared of her. He's running off. Oh, what? Here comes Mother Yashoda. Let's get out of here. I'm in trouble. Huh? So this Vasudevaya indicates that mood of Vatsalya Ras, wherein Krishna becomes subordinate to. Even Krishna becomes subordinate to his friends, even. You know, Krishna... are we reading it in here earlier on? What was that? Oh, I can't remember where I've been reading it. Whether it was Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan or whether it was a previous one. In a way, it's described how Krishna becomes the charioteer for Arjuna. He, you know, for Maharaj Yudhisthira, he takes his turn in going on watch and guarding throughout the night. He acts as a counselor. He acts as their advisor, friend. So even with somebody like Arjuna, Krishna becomes subordinate to the love and affection of the devotees. So that he takes on an equal position, or even a lesser position, as a servant. Krishna becomes the servant of the devotee when the relationship is very intimate and very... close. Right? So then Krishna actually becomes the servant of the devotee. So the roles get switched, almost, it appears. So what's the next one? Now this is a little harder, because Yoganam Pataye Namaha. Yoganam, it's mentioned here, he's the Lord Yoganam of all processes of yoga. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur translates this Yoganam Pataye. Pataye he translates as Bhatri, which means master. Right? He's the master. Or that also can be translated as husband, Pataye. Pati. You know, sometimes in some devotional communities, the husband is called Pati. In England, often, I notice it's different. The wives will call the husbands Pati. Paternal means father, actually. Father. Father. Pata. But anyway. Or Pita, even. But anyway, Yoganam, now he translates that, what is it? It's Bhakti Yogi Mayinam. Bhakti Yogi Mayinam. Which means those who are fully absorbed in Bhakti Yoga. Right? That is the Yoganam. Actually, it's interesting because in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains who's the topmost yogi. Right? Yogi nama pisavesham madgatena antaratmana sradavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. The topmost yogi is one who is always thinking of me. So this Yoganam Pataye is indicative of the Madhurya Rasa, and the example of that is he gives is devotees like Rukmini, who are always thinking of Krishna, right? And Krishna is always their master, but in a very intimate mood of love and affection. Yoganam Pataye Namaha. So in the beginning, Maharaj Nriga offers his obeisance. Namaste Savabhavaya. Here it's translated as the source of all beings, but he says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Maharaj Nriga is offering his obeisances in the mood of a servant, but appreciating that Krishna is the source of all bhavas or relationships that he has with his different devotees. Neutral, servant, friend, paternal or madhurya or conjugal relationship. Nice. It's nice understanding. So We are recommended to become at least servants. Right. In order to get to the higher stages, we've got to start somewhere. Neutral is not good enough. You know, we'll just merge with the Brahman.
Merging with,
basically that means falling down. Like Prabhupada gives the example and the Acharyas give the example that even if a person is elevated to the Santa position, that is to become one with Brahman, because the nature of the living entity is to be active, anandamaya bhyasa, to be pleasure seeking, the position of Brahman realization is not satisfying for the living entity. And one is attracted to again be active, because that's our natural position. And so one will then either go forward to be engaged in the dasya, sakya, vatsalya or madhurya rasa relationship, or one will again come down into the material realm. And of course this is Prabhupada's argument, you know, what is the benefit of the Brahman, the so-called Brahmanandis and other yogis who, you know, renounce the material world in their state of self-realization, becoming one with the Brahman, but then in due course of time what do? They engage in philanthropic and other, you know, material beneficial activities in the world of illusion again. So they just fall down, basically. So the relationship of Santaras is not attractive to the devotees because there's no active reciprocation or relationship in that. So in the beginning, we are taught to at least be servants. And we're given the name Das or Dasi as an indication of that. And we learn how to become servants through the nine processes of devotional service, and, you know, being taught those processes by the spiritual master. Beginning with Shravanam, Kirtanam, then remembering Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, then Dasyam, and etc. So, in order to appreciate these different relationships, one has to be engaged in service. And so we have many services. Well, I mentioned the other day, Sri Vigrahara Dhana Nityanana Sringara Tanmandira Marajanado, beginning with cleaning. A point that I was emphasising yesterday down at Crossways when I was having a chat with a few of the devotees. Cleaning. Especially the showers, which don't look like they've been cleaned for about 6 months down in the Brahmacharya Ashram. Not funny, it's terrible. It's a disgrace, actually. You know, if we want to become servants, then we have to... Yeah, it's interesting, it's described how Rukmini and the other queens of Dwarka, they have hundreds of thousands of servants. They don't need to be doing service. But what are they doing? They're still cleaning the... For Krishna's pleasure, they're cleaning. And we need to do it just for our purification. And to be firmly situated in this mood of servitorship. Menial service, always good for us. Some, you know, not that we become so advanced, now I'm a big, big preacher and I don't have to do any cleaning. And so, you know, what happens is we all become so advanced and then the temple is a mess. And then when we bring people back to our temple, what have we got? A mess. And then we preach to people how advanced and elevated we are. And then they look around and they say, what's going on here? This is called hypocrisy. So, you know, it's interesting how Prabhupada initiated, you know, in the beginning, in the morning, in the temple, then the cleaning activities go on. And at night, the cleaning is done. So in the morning, the temple is fresh and clean, so that when the devotees come for darshan, then, you know, the deities are nicely dressed, fresh clothes, fresh garlands and so forth, and freshly cleaned. Temple room is kept clean, so that when people come into that environment, what happens is their consciousness is elevated. They're elevated and inspired to want to do service. That's really the effect. The effect of coming into a temple and coming into the association of the devotees is that I want to do service for Krishna now because I've had that association. Not that, oh no, I've got to go and serve Krishna. Got to go and do my service. That's what happens though. This is the modes of material nature, especially the mode of ignorance, pull us down into ignorance. But you know, this type of activity is actually a mode of goodness. Doing one's duty enthusiastically, even though one might be doing the same thing every day. Ordinarily, from a material point of view, that's just boring. Right? But if we have the right consciousness, the right mentality, then one understands the responsibilities that come with being a servant. And sometimes that means just doing, the basic things. They may not be very exciting, but they're actually an opportunity to remember Krishna, to remember what we're doing. I'm here to serve Krishna. So this is not a material activity. I may want to do something more exciting. I might want to do something that makes me more prominent so that everybody can see me. Right? That's just materialism, actually. One devotee was talking with a Chintarupa and said, I don't want to do the evening dressing of the deities because I like to dress. I don't want to dress them opulently. Now, you dress Krishna according to how he wants you to dress, not according to how you like to dress him. You know what I mean? So the moon has got to be, I serve Krishna the way he wants, not Krishna puts up with my service the way I want. This is subtle, material, subtle personal motivation, which has to be removed. And so when we're doing sometimes the menial things, or the basic things, that's because that's what Krishna wants us to do. And it means we then have to put aside our personal considerations and we just do what Krishna wants, because that's actually good for us. Even though it may not be what I want. And that's very much the essence, if you like, of dasyam. And therefore, as I mentioned before, that's a very basic thing, but Rupa Goswami says, when you take shelter of the guru, the spiritual master, then you have to be prepared to accept things which ordinarily you would not like to accept, and you have to be prepared to give up things which ordinarily you would want to keep. That's a discipline of a disciple. Means to do what the guru wants, and of course what the guru wants is what Krishna wants. And so we have to put aside the personal. Not so easy because, in one sense it's easy to put on tilak and wear devotional clothes and then just do what you want and be masquerade as a devotee. And of course there's some element of, but to really become a servant means, to be more deeply absorbed in what does Krishna want? What does the spiritual master want? Sometimes in that meditation we realize, actually I'm not really much of a devotee. Which again is a good qualification. Some of the challenges and the difficulties for us in Krishna consciousness. Impetus to become a better devotee because we realise, yes, I have to be a little bit humble and I have to accept the order of the spiritual master and realise, I don't really like doing this. But do it anyway because that's actually a symptom of humility. And it's a symptom of a disciple. I do. Discipline means doing what you've been asked to do. And not ignoring it. So, Maharaj Nriga has come to that realization, yes, I'm your servant. And in that mood, he's appreciating also all of the other different relationships of service, if you like. He's offering his prayers in appreciation, requesting permission from Krishna. Now, let me take your leave. And he's now going to go off and enjoy his good karma. Right? As a result of all the pious activities that he did, he's now getting the beneficial results of that. But with the blessing, with the added blessing, that he never forgets his relationship with the Lord, that he never forgets that he's a servant. You know, receive the benefits of all of his pious activities and just go off and enjoy material life. But, as it's mentioned, he actually got the blessing, he got the mercy of a devotee. He got the mercy of the devotees. And the blessing that he would eventually be reinstated as a servant of the Lord. And so now he's offering all of these prayers to the Lord. And is seeking that blessing, actually, to never forget that he's a servant. Very important. And I guess, we could also pray for that blessing, if you like. Never to forget that we're a servant of Krishna. That's a great blessing. And, as a servant of Krishna, never forget that we're actually... In order to be a servant of Krishna, we have to be a servant of Krishna's devotees. And Krishna says this... He who says he is my devotee, he's not my devotee, but one who says he's a servant of my devotees, that's my devotee. Does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points? Kripa Sindhu. Thus. Ritualistic. He got the mercy. He's just been touched by, he's just been pulled out of the world by the Lord. And as soon as the Lord touched him, then he manifested the form of a demigod. Right? Yeah. So he's self-realized at this point. He's got the mercy. And of course, this pastime has been orchestrated by Krishna to demonstrate the wonderful quality of Maharaj Nriga, that he served the brahmanas, right? But that he made one mistake. He stole. Actually, he didn't even steal. It was just a mistake. It was an accident. But he had to suffer for that misdemeanor, right? So Krishna was revealing to everybody there the exalted nature, the exalted character of Maharaj Nriga. And of course, he's showing that exalted character in the prayers that he's offering. Previously, he was a lizard. You don't expect great prayers of devotion from a lizard. Because he's not a lizard, actually. He only got the lizard's body because of the reactions. But here's the thing, you know. In one sense, there's the prayer, which is the external form of the external form of the prayer are the words that are spoken. But underlying the words is the mood, is the feeling of the devotee, the bhava, if you like, right? The bhava, the mood of devotion. That anybody can have. And so in one sense, anybody can offer prayers to the Lord. In that, it's a display of affection, it's a display of appreciation, it's a display of submission, dhanya, right? It's a display of humility, it's a display of submission, it's a display of appreciation. So, one of the reasons why we study, you know, the Bhagavatam and the writings of the Goswami, especially personalities like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is, you know, those devotees are far more eloquent than us in articulating those moods of devotion, right? So therefore, you know, we may have that, well, we should have the same mood or the same sentiment. We may not be able to express it as effectively as these devotees do, but we study their prayers so that we can also repeat those prayers, but with our own feeling of, you know, submission and surrender. Do you know what I mean? So anybody can have, every devotee has that mood or feeling, or should have. We should be developing that mood. And in repeating the prayers and studying the prayers of the different person, you know, Lord Brahma, he's offering prayers, Lord Indra's offering prayers, Shiva's offering prayers, you know, Dhruva Maharaj is offering prayers, Prahlad Maharaj is offering prayers, the gopis are offering prayers, Narada Muni is offering prayers, you know, in fact, you know, in one sense, the Bhagavatam is just a sequence of events that lead to lots of, you know, sets of prayers all the time by the different devotees. So, you know, we can take those offerings, take the words, and use them to be a vehicle for our own expression of devotion. Right? And so in that way, even though we may be inadequate, still that mood of surrender should be manifest in our characters and in our behaviours. And we can do it by studying the prayers of the previous acharyas and personalities like Maharaj and Riga and so forth.
Probably you said about Santarasa.
Yeah.
Is it not mean that meditating upon the four armed Vishnu and rather not upon multiple with the presence of Supreme Brahman?
Usually, as I understand it, it's a meditation on the just on the impersonal feature. That's how it's described. Although I guess you could, it is described how the yogis also aspire to meditate, or they try to meditate on the Paramatma with a desire to become one with him also. Right? So it can be. It's described in that way. We want to become one with the personal feature, which is bit odd. Well, the devotees think that's a bit odd, generally speaking.
It's just starting, as you are saying, Santarasa.
If that desire is, if that, you know, if there's a desire to go on to know the personal feature, and of course, knowing the personal feature means automatically that one will start to engage in some sort of service. Right? Relationship is established. Because just like when I know you, then the first thing, what do I want to know about you? What's your name? Where do you live? Right? Who's your mum and dad? Who's your wife? Who's your kids? And then we start to engage in personal relationships. Then we start to get to know each other. We do things together. I find out that, you know, you like halva and sweet rice, or whatever, and then I feed you those things. Huh? Or I find out that you don't like eggplant in your sabji, so I don't give it to you. So in that way, service manifests, you know, service manifests in the relationship, in understanding the relationship. Or just to annoy you, I might give you eggplant and your sabji. It's also a relationship. Or I might think, you need to eat eggplant because it's good for you, despite the fact that you don't like it. Your parents are like that, you know. They love their children, but their children hate eggplant and zucchinis. But the parents keep on feeding them eggplants and zucchinis because it's just good for you. You have to eat it. That's love. Huh? Children think, this is torture. How come my parents, all they do is pick on me and they never do anything I want? So usually what happens is when the devotee realizes the Paramatma feature or the personal feature, then that develops a mood of getting to know the person. You want to know the person. When it's just the impersonal feature, then there's no question of getting to know nothing or something that's indescribable or immutable or omnipresent. Right? Because it actually, by its very definition, it's impersonal. It hasn't got features. And it can't be known. Neither can it be described. Sometimes you forget him. Yeah, that's not remembering Krishna all the time, actually, but anyway, strictly speaking. Remembering something else other than Krishna means not remembering him. Go on. Breakfast time coming up. That's okay. That's all right. If you're remembering things in relation to Krishna, then that's remembering Krishna.
All right. When you chant, then you remember the forms of various forms of deities. Is it good?
Yeah, it's okay. One thing that struck me the other day, one of the devotees was telling me how important it is, or how lucky a devotee is to render service in an environment like in the temple, because he said, you know, you're always serving Krishna. And I said to him, I said, yeah, well, I'm working for Krishna, even if I'm not thinking of Krishna, I'm doing something for Krishna. You know what I mean? So that is very fortunate. Because he said, when I'm at work, if I forget Krishna, then I'm just in Maya. Huh? So just see how, you know, fortunate we are when we're in an environment where we can, where even when we're in Maya, we're still serving Krishna to one degree or another. The benefit of devotional service performed in a temple environment where everything has been done for Krishna. So you can be sweeping the floor thinking, oh boy, what am I doing here? I wish I was doing something else, but still you're serving Krishna. Or you can be, you know, folding up letters to post out to our members thinking, oh God, this is a horrible job. But you're still serving Krishna. How better? But if you're at work for the boss doing that, then you're just in Maya. You're just plain old Maya. Working for somebody else and not even thinking about Krishna. How dangerous is that? So, yes, if you're doing, there is a benefit. And as Prabhupada points out, you'll be remembering Krishna. That's the benefit of doing some of these very menial essential services. They're menial, and we might think they're not so important, but they are actually. Prabhupada makes the point, you know, the pot washer, the person cleaning the, you know, the courtyard or whatever, is not inferior. Is just as good as the person who might be worshipping the deity and touching the deity directly. And the devotee who's worshipping the deity shouldn't be thinking, I'm more elevated than the pot washer or the courtyard sweeper. Because each one of those services is pleasing to Krishna because it's been done for Krishna. And it has the same purifying potency. So better that we remain in that humble mood. Otherwise what starts to happen is we start thinking, yes, I'm the big preacher, I'm a book distributor, I'm better than everybody else because I'm the most advanced. I'm doing the most pleasing service to Krishna, and because I'm pleasing Krishna, therefore I'm making so much advancement because I'm pleasing Krishna. But a person who's cleaning the courtyard is pleasing Krishna too. And then what happens is, you know, that we have the all the book distributors become the most advanced devotees, but all they're doing actually is becoming puffed up. Because it's got to be done in the right mood. It's tricky, actually. Devotional service is a little bit tricky. Because it's all to do with consciousness and mood, attitude, service attitude. And whilst it is a fact that Prabhupada was pleased by those devotees who were doing book distribution, he wasn't pleased by the fact that they started to think they were bigger than, better than everybody else. And Prabhupada even comments, you know, in purports, he makes the comment, you know, the devotees who may bring money, right, but the spiritual master is not as pleased as he is when he sees them actually making spiritual advancement. That's more pleasing. You know, he's pleased that the devotees are doing book distribution or collecting funds or whatever we happen to be doing. But what's more pleasing to the spiritual master is that development of the service attitude and developing the proper qualities of humility and pridelessness and respect for others. First quality that's recommended by Mahaprabhu. What is it? Trinadupi sanichena tarora vasahishnuna manina manadina kirtani asadahari. The qualifications for chanting Hare Krishna constantly is to be more tolerant than a tree. Trinadupi sanichena tarora vasahishnuna. Humble, like a blade of grass. Expecting no respect for oneself, but offering respects to all others. You had a question?
Yes, probably just to when...
You stalled on your first go. You know, let the devotee up in the back here, Prabhu. What was your question going to be?
Well, sometimes, like, situations are against you.
Yeah. Or your karma, which is ultimately sanctioned by Krishna, yes.
But the thing is, for a while, you think you get embarrassed. You get like.
Embarrassed?
Embarrassed, or you say that you feel bad, like.
Yes.
It shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
So, what I mean is that, is there a way out that we shouldn't even think about that? Because if we are thinking that.
It's good to be embarrassed. Right? It's good to be embarrassed.
But I mean that if we are getting embarrassed, it means that we are not happy with the feeling of...
With our stupidity. That's why it's good. It's not a bad thing. When you realise, I made a mistake. See, because here's what happens. Usually, what often people think, why is God making bad things for good people? It's God's fault. Right? This can be a bit of a problem. Devotees even think like that too. I'm a devotee. How come everything's not going right for me? But when there are difficulties, difficult circumstances, and we accept the responsibility for those, that's actually the beginning of this mood of humility. Right? An acceptance of responsibility for the fact that I've made choices and I've performed activities which are now giving me these reactions. It's my fault, not God's fault. That's why I'm embarrassed, because I mucked up. So that's good, I would suggest. Huh? But we don't see it like that. We think, Krishna, what's going on here? How come you've made this arrangement? I'm an innocent, pure-hearted soul who didn't do anything wrong. Huh? There's that song by I guess I can quote it. It's a song by Eric Burdon and the Animals. Aptly named, right? The Animals. But what is it? I'm just a poor boy whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Right? I didn't do anything wrong. It's everybody else's fault. Whereas, you know, the proper mood should be, you know, my intentions are all bad and I deserve everything that I get. So please let me rectify my consciousness so that I can serve you properly. That's, you know, the proper mood. I don't know how we can write a hit song out of that. It wouldn't be that appealing. If you want to write a hit song, then go to the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's already written it for us. But, you know, this is the antithesis, if you like. The materialist is thinking, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. Please make everything good for me. Whereas the devotee is saying, I've just made so many mistakes. It's a wonder that I am even in existence. But now I am at least in the association of the devotees. Let me take advantage of it, despite the fact that I'm a fool and a rascal. And nobody understands me. How's that sound? All right. I think we should take prasadam. What do you reckon? Yeah. Somebody, was that? That wasn't your stomach rumbling then, was it?
No, it was Bernadette.
Bernadette. She just ran off to have breakfast. That's a good sign. Healthy sign when you can hear your stomach rumbling. Of course, Krishna is the fire of digestion. He gives us the ability to digest anything, everything, anything. Okay, Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.